He doesn't play fair at all. When you're down and bleeding, he'll kick you and cut you again. And this is a picture of what's happening at the cross and on the cross that will happen to us at our most vulnerable times.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This message was taken from a brand new sermon series. This is Why Your Faith Needs the Cross, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Pastors that are afraid, 50% of pastors won't preach truth in their pulpits because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody and run off a tithe-paying member. Not here. If you stop paying, keep them. Keep them. Just keep your tithe. You're not buying me, you're not buying this church, and I'm not set. This gospel is not for sale, ladies and gentlemen. I said it ain't for sale. And the day that I can't preach truth from behind this pulpit, I will walk out that side door and it'll be over for me. But it's not up to me, it's up to you to hear the truth so that the truth can make you free. In this day, I mean, I'll get to all of this tonight, but y'all all know how it works. Today, a people-pleasing gospel has eliminated the cross. Let me just tell you something. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, made a prophecy before he died. And in that prophecy, there were multiple things that he wrote down. You go in and Google it. It's powerful. And he said, there will come a day in the church before the coming of the Lord where it will be a crossless Christ. And we are there. Don't call for a sacrifice, Pastor. Don't make me have to give up something in order to choose God. Because you know I got this going on. Besides that, my kids are. You make all the excuses you want to, but I've watched many people. I've watched many people make heathens out of their children. Now, just because you bring them, drag them to church. See, I was a drug addict before. Mom and daddy drugged me to church, Jack. But you know, you don't make a habit out of something until you keep doing it for a little while. How many of you like collard greens? Let me see your hand. Look at you. Okay. All right, well, that right there, look at y'all. You know I'm going to talk about food on Wednesday night. Look at y'all liking them. How many of you liked collard greens when you were a child? Look at there, lost a few. Yeah, you know why? Because some of it is an acquired taste. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Crucify. Do you understand anything about crucifying the flesh? Because I can tell you that most of the modern church doesn't. Pastor, you slamming everybody? I'm just telling you the facts, my friends. Sacrifice is not on the agenda. So we are now in an age that the prophecy of William Booth has come to pass where we want Christ without the cross. We want Christ without the cross. What's that all about? Why do some people prefer a crossless Christ? Well, first of all, is that the moment that you are confronted with the cross, it reveals the heart of man. It starts telling you who you are. And we don't want that. The cross exposes the sinner's guilt. Boy, in recent weeks, I've heard from some folks that pastors, preachers, whatever, that have talked to me about how that preachers are not supposed to use sin in the pulpit, the word sin in the pulpit anymore. Call anybody a sinner. I'm going to tell you, for me, I think that makes Billy Graham roll over in his grave. We are all sinners, but for the grace of God in our lives. This is a reason why that I'm concerned about the fact that I'm concerned about people saying that they've been converted, but not genuinely saved. We got a lot of numbers, and we got big buildings and big crowds, and quite frankly, my friends, all I would have to do is just tweak a few things in here, and I'd have a crowd every weekend. The moment I start appeasing and pleasing everybody in the building and giving everybody what they want, the crowd would be massive. Well, Pastor, you're just playing ignorant because you know we need to build the church. Listen to me. I'll not build the church on the back of something that's going to collapse. Amen. So nothing but the cross is going to be the message. And you might get tired of hearing it. But I don't have anything else to preach. Because that's all that is supposed to be preached. Let's take it from the Apostle Paul. I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you with me? It reveals the moment we come face to face with the cross, we see our own guilt and our own sin. It unmasked, listen, it unmasked the hatred for Christ that's down in our own hearts that we have no idea that is there. Did you hear what I said? Pastor, I don't hate Jesus. Man's hatred for Christ got, listen, the same people this week, the same people that were waving palm branches on Sunday, hollering Hosanna, within a 7-day period of time flipped around and hollered crucify. We don't know what is in our heart until we come to the cross and the Lord bears our sin before us. That's the reason why we got to keep coming back to the cross. Because there's stuff that creeps inside of our heart. Preach, Pastor. Oh, come on. I know the saved among us, the greatest among us, there'll be something to creep inside of that heart that you don't know. Some little bitterness, something, some unforgiveness, something that'll get inside of that heart. And it'll lay there in the dark shadows of your heart. And the devil will cloak it and say, it's all right, everything's good. But I got news for you. God knows our heart. And the moment, see, you won't have that light turned on that thing unless you're in an atmosphere that lifts the cross up and exposes you to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You can come and go out. Here's a dangerous thing, to come and go out of the church with the same thing in your heart that could banish you to 1,000 hells. Ladies and gentlemen, I say, Pastor, preach the cross and let it expose me every time I come, because it's the only power of God unto salvation. Boy, I feel my help in here tonight. We see our need of Jesus when we see the cross. Why do people prefer a crossless Christ? Well, secondly, it declares the purpose of God. In other words, you're not just here for no reason then. Calvary, listen carefully what I'm about to say. You'll misinterpret what I'm about to say. Calvary is the biggest mess up of all mankind if we cannot satisfy our sin and find righteousness there. It's the biggest blunder of all time. Jesus blundered it for the biggest of all if there is no salvation there. Why die? Either it's all true or not at all. Choose you. Either there's salvation in none other than Jesus Christ and in the cross, and sanctification. Let's talk a second about sanctification. It's not just my salvation experience. I get saved, I go to the altar, whatever, I get saved. It's now that I've got to get up and walk the Christ crossroad, if you will. That means that there's things that's going to be cut off of my life. Old attitudes, old things, whatever that it may be. As I walk with the Lord and take up the cross and follow Him, There's going to be things he's going to deal with my life that sanctifies me. But here's sanctification. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. Now stand up. Now you've been born again, but that doesn't mean that you've been sanctified, because there's still the old Caleb that's in there. But if you'll start walking towards me, you're walking away from where you used to be, and you're walking closer towards where Christ wants you to be. And the more you get away from that, the closer you get to the Lord. That's sanctification right there. Let me give you this consideration from this past weekend. The Exodus, of which they've just discovered just a few days ago, another confirming fact in the Sinai of the Exodus of the Hebrew people with Moses leading them out. I know that didn't impress you, but I'm just telling you, it's pretty impressive. Especially since it was like 4,000 years ago. But we're in such a skeptic society today that, anyway, that's another message. So what happened? They're in Egypt for 400 years, and it gets to the point where they say, we must have a deliverer. And the Bible says that God heard them, their cries, because of the taskmasters. Those Egyptian taskmasters that were beating them to death, starving them to death. Listen, we stood under the Western Wall, where the Hebrews were sliding those walls into place as slaves, okay? And one of those stones, stand up, Ukiah, one of those stones went from this point right here, just stay right there, went from that point right, one stone. Stand up, John. One stone. Thank you. What's the point? The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that they were under such oppression, such bondage. Now, how does that calculate? Calculates today, you're not dragging stones around, you're not getting beaten, you're not having to make bricks without straw. But there's the torments of the mind that's going on for people in this building right here. There's the torment of your son, your daughter, your grandchild that's running astray. Come on, somebody. There's the situations that are going on and the oppression of the enemy, and the more you pray, the darker it seems to get, and you're wondering, Lord, is this really working? I came to tell you, you got to keep your faith right there and don't give the devil any place of movement whatsoever. Why, Pastor? Because you're going to find that the purposes of God have been there all along. If I leave it, I won't find the end of this thing. I'll just be wandering in the wilderness. So what happened with the Egyptians? He sanctified them in the wilderness. He saved them and he brought them out of Egypt. And then they walked in the wilderness, walking away from the stuff that they used to eat, physically eat. They got out there at one point and said, you brought us out here to die. We want to go back and eat the leeks and the onions and the garlic and all that kind of stuff. We want those rich food, because their physical system, the Old Testament physical, reveals a New Testament spiritual. So they wanted to go back with their physical systems and be unsanctified, and said, we would rather live under the heavy hand and drag these gigantic stones than to be out here in the wilderness without a 7-Eleven. I'd rather live out in the world. You know, before I got saved, I didn't have trouble like this. I'd like to bring that to you in the Greek and the Hebrew wording all at the same time. Duh. You belong to the devil. You were in your sins and transgressions, and you were on your way to hell, but God sent a deliverer. And it's better to live in the wilderness with God than to eat the leeks and the onions with the garlic and the Egyptians back there underneath the oppression of the devil.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.